Ihr hört Revolte Radio auf FSK 93,0 und wir sprechen jetzt mit Juris von ILGA Europe. Hallo Juris, hörst du mich? Hallo? Hallo? Ah, das kann nicht funktionieren. Hallo, hörst du mich jetzt? Are you listening to me? Yes, everything's fine.
Great, great.
First 2 seconds I forget to push the button.
Okay.
This means being alone at the radio station. All my co-moderators are at Zurich, Berlin and New York City, which I envy. But you're in Brussels now.
So, I'm in Brussels, yes.
Yes, and we were just listening to Svetlana from the Queer Festival at Sarajevo, and they got really threatened and bashed, and they're still threatened now. And I think that's rather, distorting, or it's rather bad news, because also at Budapest there has been gay bashing, and there has been gay bashing at Italy. And all in this year. So do you have a kind of an overview about all these events?
Yes, I can maybe just give you a little bit of a picture, of a wider picture, because the problem with gay pride as such started about 5 years ago in various Eastern and Central and European countries. I mean, basically, it's mainly countries who used to belong to the post-Soviet bloc, and this were the events for the first time LGBT community were coming to the street claiming their rights but also raising their visibilities. Particularly this year, there were still problems in Riga, in Latvia. There was a still ongoing problem in Chisinau, capital of Moldova, when the gay pride is being banned for 5 years, and despite the ban, the organization decided to go to the march this year, but the bus in which they were coming to the place where they're supposed to have a march was surrounded by a homophobic mob, and they would not allow them to get out and were intimidated by a whole hour, where police was just standing by and not doing anything. Later on, the office of the organization, GenderDoc, in Moldova was attacked as well. This year, we also witnessed the first gay pride event in Czech Republic, in Brno, which faced also quite severe violence, but fortunately police provided adequate protection. For the first time, the violence occurred also in Ljubljana, capital of Slovenia, because Pride is happening there peacefully for many years. And after the Pride event in Ljubljana, few people were attacked and chased by homophobic hooligans. Of course, you mentioned Budapest. Budapest is a very worrying city, because the Pride event was happening in this place for 10 years. And only since last year, we actually, ILGA board and staff had a meeting in Budapest last year, and we took part in the parade, and it was extremely intimidating experience, because the police was not enough. We were marching alongside with the homophobes, and it was a very threatening experience. And as a result, later on that day, several people were beaten up, who were advised not to commute other than by taxi. I mean, we have also places like Moscow, which the gay parade are not allowed, and people who are attempting to raise voice are being beaten up, etc. We have places like Vilnius, capital of Lithuania, when the city authorities keep refusing any attempts by LGBT community to take their voice and be part of any manifestations. And actually, Vilnius is a quite unique city, because for the second year, the authorities of this country and cities banned the European Union anti-discrimination truck to come into city, only because LGBT organization would be part of this event. And of course, the shocking events in Sarajevo. So the latest development for the few years are quite worrying, because we experienced prohibitions of LGBT demonstration. We experienced severe violence. And also the worrying fact that in some places there is no or not adequate police protection, or, you know, standing by and not taking any actions against those people who are committing violence.
Mm-hmm. But you're speaking about the former Soviet countries, but I also, yesterday I read a bit at the internet, and it was also like Amsterdam is not anymore the most queer-friendly place in Europe, and I read about Italy, about queer bashing there, and now at Berlin, 3 months ago, there was an attack.
Absolutely.
So I think it's like a kind of a pan-European phenomena. seems.
I think in terms of the violence, I mean, it is a pan-European issue. It's always been. I think what happened in the Eastern European countries is that the gay pride parades provided a platform for all the radicals, the ultra-nationalist skinheads, religious fundamentalists to mobilize and provided the ground for the violence to express. But we just, Atilka Europe published a handbook for LGBT, but also other human rights organizations, how to deal with hate crime and violence. And mm-hmm. when we were collecting data and working with our members, it is an issue everywhere. For example, just a couple of months ago, I was in Stockholm for Europe Pride, and just before the march, a couple of nights before, there were several attacks on gay men as well who were coming from the bars. I mean, I live in Brussels, and just a few months ago, my friend was attacked after exiting the gay club. So it is an issue. It is a very serious issue, and this is what ILGA Europe is starting, sort of a huge campaign now to address this issue.
And you're talking about hate crimes, but would you refer to it that it's like basically against LGBT people, or that it's kind of also violence against democracy? Like, and LGBT people being like the most visible sign of this kind of modern democracy, which likes to promote also all the minorities?
I definitely agree, and this is what we keep saying and stating, that the attacks on LGBT people and attacks on their freedom of assembly and attacks and violence against them, it's not just attack against a certain minority group. It's an attack against the whole democratic system which Europe was carefully creating for the last 50 years. It's a very serious issue, and I think the difference between sexual minorities and other minorities, that sexual orientation and LGBT people are still marginalized, that it is still questioning legitimacy of discrimination of sexual orientation. For example, at the moment, the European Union level, there is a debate about new directive which would protect various groups from all forms of discrimination. And there is still a lot of resistance towards inclusion of sexual orientation. Somehow, still in Europe, people think that, you know, sexual minorities do not deserve the same rights as women, as representative of racial minority, disabled people. So there is a really big cloud of sort of illegitimacy around sexual orientation and gender identity.
And coming back to Sarajevo, like what can ILGA do to support them, and what can we do to support ILGA to support them?
Mm. Maybe firstly, few words about what ILGA Europe is. I mean, ILGA Europe is the European region of the International Lesbian and Gay Association, and there is a twofold purpose for the organization. Firstly, we work with the major European organizations and their institutions like the European Union, the Council of Europe, Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. We work through lobbying, through advocacy, dissemination of information. At the same time, we are a network of LGBT organizations in Europe, and we're providing this bridge. So collating data, information, and passing it to appropriate institutions, making sure institutions taking an account in their work, but also when working with various member states. And the way ILGA Europe works, we're supporting our members in whatever situation they are, in whatever way we can, through, firstly, capacity building. For the last few years, the issue of freedom of assembly for LGBT people and now hate crime are coming out as a very big issues. And we're providing a lot of trainings for LGBT activists. We're equipping them with information, how to organize an event, what to look after, what to do with information, because very often there is a panic around attacks, etc., and people don't know what to do with information, how to collect. So we're providing the framework for people to be equipped, to be aware. In most of these places, people know what to expect. So we're equipping them with, okay, what do you need to look into? How you need to document this information and what to do with it? Because the issue with hate crime at the moment, unfortunately, in Europe, only about 11 countries which explicitly refer to homophobia and sexual orientation in their hate crime legislation. So legislation, of course, is only one way of tackling violence, but it is a very important one. But in order to persuade decision makers at national, at European level, there is a need to address this issue. We need to provide them with solid, reliable evidence. And despite the fact that, yes, it is in the news, etc., It is our job, it's a job for us and the member groups and other human rights organizations to systematically, methodologically monitor, document and provide this information, and this is what we're trying to do. Of course, we're trying to switch all possible mechanisms available at European level to pressurize appropriate institutions when dealing with country. Because, for example, if we're looking now at Sarajevo, at Bosnia-Herzegovina, this is a country which is aspiring to join the European Union, and it's in the process of accession. So we're trying to work a lot and passing a lot of information to the institutions. They are aware, and they are raising these issues, like they did with many other countries when negotiating and talking about human rights and LGBT rights as such. What ordinary citizens can do, there is a, I think it's important to realize and understand that violence is only an end product of a chain, and to understand what are the components of this chain which leads to violence and tackle all this step by step. I mean, it's starting from the very, very primitive issues like language and jokes, homophobic jokes. How often do we hear from our friends or in the social circle, people making jokes, etc., to challenge it, to stand up? We can do a lot on our community level, on with our community leaders, with political parties. There is still resistance, even within the left parties, you know, to take the issue on board and gradually going to next level to enhance legislation, education, etc.
Okay, thanks a lot. People can get in touch to you via the website, which is...
Yes, it's www.ilga-europe.org.
Great. Thanks a lot for the interview.
Pleasure.
I hope we will make the situation better.
We will. I think it's important to look at the prospect. I mean, it's a disease, and when disease is coming to its end, you know, it's manifests in a really ugly way, and I'm really hopeful that we will be able to overcome it.
Okay, thanks a lot.
No problem at all. Pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye.